Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello, my dear friends, and great to see you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is June the 4th of the year of our Lord 2022, and this is Usama Dakhdar with you from the state of Missouri, and with me, Brother Paul from Rochester, Minnesota.
Rochester, New York. Rochester, New York. Rochester, New York. Oh, wow. Oh, push the unmute. Okay, sorry. Rochester, New York. Yeah. Well, you have friends in both places, so I get that. Nah, this is a... Pretty good. It's been a beautiful day up here in Rochester. I've been enjoying the weather. We usually get a lot of rainy days in April and May, and today has just been one of those beautiful days all day.
Given the sad news, we have been praying for our dear brother Tim over the last few months. He was struggling, fighting, and he was also submitting himself to the Lord. I believe he chose to go in hospice, and not because he's ending his life by his free will, but he's really giving it up to the Lord. And he lived with us for the last few weeks, I think, maybe a couple months on hospice. And the night before last night, he went to be with the Lord. So Brother Finn is no longer with us here, but he's waiting on us on the other side. And so we need to be keeping his family up there, especially his mom, his wife, son, and all those also involved in the family. I do not know too many of the members of his family. I know Brother Finn for a good 15 years or so. So we have been good friends. I mean, actually more than 15 years, but he requested by his beloved wife, she sent me a text message, asked if I can go and speak in his funeral. So obviously I said, I will. Lord is willing, after the program is over tonight, around maybe 12 o'clock midnight or so, I will be heading south to Mississippi so I can be in the funeral. And have some of the things here as well while I'm there, working on my car. Final editing with some of our other friends who live in Mississippi. So keep Brother Penn's wife, his son, his mom, super crazy because she's really taking it hard as well. I mean, she knows Penn for 55, 40 years, long time. She knows him for many years, and he's a good friend of her and her children, her son and her three daughters and her grandchildren. So he's a part of Christian family. So keep Sister Christy in your prayer as well.
Yeah, this is really, really hard for her. So, yeah, definitely keep her in prayers. It's a friend for 30 years for her. So, yeah.
I mean, it's hard on me to see him go after knowing him for 15, 16 years. He doesn't double in that or whatever it was. That is a strong friendship and to the family as well. So, anyway, this is concerning sensitivity. That's why she's not going to be with us tonight. But Lord is willing, next couple of days, she will join us, and everything will be fine. Guys, I know there's some already in the chat room making comments. And if you have one of you make comments, maybe you will start to send your friends, those on Facebook or those on whatever way you are, send them a message, say hello, come back, join us. Please invite as many people as you can to our program. And for those obviously who will join us later, if you will miss any portion of our study, feel free to watch it and share it. I'm saying again, watch watch it and share it. I'm going to tell you why this study is very important when we start talking about it. We're talking about the miraculous mistakes of Muhammad in the Bible, beyond the message.
It's going to be a laughing day.
Even though it's so foolishness, but by these lines, I met personally men and women who became a Muslim because of the lies of the severity of Allah/Muhammad/Muslim. We're going to see you in the next few weeks as we continue our study. So, Brother Paul, what else do you have online before we start our show?
Well, I found something today that kind of made me laugh. We talk, on my show, we talk a lot about how Islamophobic events have to be manufactured. So this week, having been an employee at a McDonald's, I can pretty much say that CARE manufactured this incident. So here we go. I'm going to throw this in the chat room real quick. And this is just hilarious to me. The fact that, here we go. Read this and have a good laugh. Well, here we go. This is by Mark Pratt, and it's up on Yahoo News. It says, by Associated Press, complaint, McDonald's intentionally sold Muslim family bacon. Workers at McDonald's restaurant in Massachusetts intentionally put a bacon on a fish sandwich that a Muslim woman had ordered for one of her children. A civil rights if you think CARE is civil rights, it should never be called that. Council on American Islamic...
When you say CARE as civil rights, what does that mean?
It's pretty much been established that CARE is Hamas in America in courts, in federal courts. So if you consider Hamas a civil rights organization.
There's no civil rights, not for men, not for women, not for humans, period. So if the cult of Islam does not give people rights, how can you call any organization within the cult an organization of civil rights?
Well said.
I'm going to get you back to your comments. Okay, let me ask you a question. What is the most important right for me as a human? I'm not talking about the right to eat, the right to drink, the right to breathe. But what is the most important right for me as a spiritual being, as a human? It is what? Religion? Right. You know that? Worship? Really.
Yes.
To me, to Muslims, to a Jew, to anybody who has some cultic worship, whatever, the spiritual arena beyond Islam, Christianity, Judaism, and things, is the most important right. Do Muslims have the right to choose the religion?
And they don't.
What happens if a Muslim leaves Islam and become a believer in Judaism, Christianity, Judaism, become a worship something? Ultimately, they still stop. Where is the civil right in the stupid cult of Islam? There's zero human rights. Women rights, female, men rights, civil rights, all rights, there's no zero rights anymore. And I can go on about everything else. I want to eat pork, man. Brother Paul, I'd love to have my fish sandwich with pork in it. No, that's all against whatever you guys
So I was in management at McDonald's, so I just don't see how this is, and when you take a look at the picture that did show, I don't know there's a reason why there's generally no bacon at this time, this part, but again, you won't find this combination in the bacon that they had shown in a picture that I had seen earlier, is not bacon from McDonald's. And I can tell you why, having worked there, because they overcook things. They cook it till it's dead. So they're calling this religious discrimination. And supposedly the child asked his mom if they hate us. So, it sounds to me like the whole thing was a setup, but I hope they fight. Yes.
First of all, they're going to tell you it's part of the menu. It's part of the menu we came up with. The fish at McDonald's does not come with bacon. And if you're a plus thinker, most likely you're going to have to argue for a little bit longer. What is the purpose? For heaven's sake, we're giving America to the Muslims. What a persecution and a hit and a sandwich? What a stupid Muslim thinking that the American people are just stupid enough to give America to the Muslims. So they're going to put my people thinking to persecution? What about the persecution of the Christian in 57 Muslim countries when they kill our men and kidnap our women and daughters and rape them? Do we call this persecution? Oh, that's a simple thing. See, that is a simple thing in the Middle East. Here in America, oh, what is the fucking thing? In a six level, there must be persecution. Let's lock out every person who works in McDonald's and maybe the people who work in that McDonald's should be not put in prison, but should be stoned to death.
You know, the one thing about McDonald's, you go through the drive-through, and a lot of times you get mistakes. This is the thing that gets me. This woman was going through a drive-through. She didn't check the bag, you know, and just to say that somebody may have ordered bacon on a fish sandwich, maybe they paid extra. Maybe they handed the wrong bag out. I don't know. Yes. Yeah, it's not going to – it's just very extremely unusual, and it has to be a special order. It'll cost more, too. It'll definitely cost more. They'll charge you for the bacon. Well, you know what Dr. Kufarphobia just said? An important statement. And I have not seen – I mean, I don't go to McDonald's anymore, but you don't know. It could have been turkey bacon.
That is good. That's story number one. What other stories do you have?
Well, this one's interesting. This is from the UK. I'll throw this in the chat room too. This is this one makes me laugh. And maybe the UK is waking up. I doubt it. But it says UK regulators promoting death for apostates is not okay. It's by Susanna Johnston. Promoting death for apostates is not okay. This is by Susanna Johnston. It's in Islamism.news. The UK's Charity Commission shut down the Islamic Research Foundation International, IRFI, on April 26 for alleged violations of British charitable law. The foundation was cited for funding Peace TV, an Islamic news channel that lost its license to broadcast in 2019 for inciting murder. This is an excellent and much-needed move, Fiaz Mughal, a trustee and founder of, quote, Muslims Against Anti-Semitism. Is that really I'm just kind of that title just blows me away there. If charities do not comply and they have a history where there is mismanagement, notice that and there, they need to be closed down if they don't comply or meet the standards. All right. The commission opened an inquiry into IRFI in April 2020, investigating multiple issues with the charity, including mismanagement of funds meant for the public good, the conflict of interest with its director, believe it or not, it's Zachary Nike, as the primary individual behind both the charity and the TV channels. So they're watching Zachary Nike, who is in Malaysia.
The man is one of the dumbest of the dumb. He is a student of Ahmadinejad who was also the dumbest of the dumb. These people do not know too much about his own, the professional lawyer, the professional joke. He really is a joker. I can call him joker, doctor,
Oh, that's not a surprise, is it?
brother Adam Zika, love for me to say it.
And you got to wonder about a guy who chose that name for his child.
So I would love to debate. That's the last few days I'm really thinking about the big Shabir Ali. Shabir Ali offered me a debate some time ago. I love him, but I think it's time for me to Muslim. I'm not even thinking about any of the things which we've already been doing. Many. A second part of repeating debate. I'm going to do new debate, new style of debate, which means not that they're saying too many. No, there's no limit for debate. Because let's put a lunch and dinner mixed tea on the table because we're going to talk as long as it's going to take 17 hours. I don't care. When you get tired, we stop to continue. And I'm not going to limit it with 2 minutes because I still don't even say hello in 2 minutes. It's going to be 10 minutes. Back and forth, me and him. No such a, don't look at this stupid clock. Talk all what you want about that point. We're not going to chase rabbit. We're going to take any chapter of the Quran and we're going to go verse by verse, and tell me how in the world you believe this to be the word of God. Because the only miracle of Islam is the Quran. And if we can destroy the Quran, you can Islam the Quran. And that is Muhammad Allah, with all these stupid who claim to be as we're going to see in this study. This study will have to start. It's going to go for, I'm guessing, 7, 8 weeks, maybe 10 weeks. What we're going to be talking about? We're going to talk about 5 verses from the Quran. 5 verses in 10 weeks. That is what we do to be on. Not just one word here, cut the thought, another word here, cut the thought. I couldn't even finish my thought and say, oh, the 1.5 hour debate is over. No. I'm going to have him for many hours of this week, and if you're kicking out the limits, and I promise. And I'll say a debate for 6 hours, okay, or 8 hours. I promise, after the first half hour, he will leave and that will be the end of it. So, we're not going to finish the hours of debate, I know for sure. Because I'm not going to be debating in the American system by law. I'm going to do it the Mohammedan style. And you know, here in America, when you debate Muslims, you don't say Muhammad is a very wicked, evil man. I got so many Muslims debating the fact that said, don't want to debate me again because I'm insulting Muhammad. I'm going to involve Allah and Muhammad and Jibreel and the man who's going to do the debate. So, if he's not willing to be insulted, then don't take the debate. And go ahead. Insult me, insult my Jesus, insult my Bible. On the topic for the truth of Jesus. So, that is for future. Some Muslims watching this and really, really, a big shot and he's going to defend Allah and Muhammad. Come on. I will have a debate with you. So, next story. So now we find out that
I actually switched I switched that. That was pretty much it. Here's the next one. The next one is let me go back. Sorry. And okay. All right. And let's get back up here. Going between screens, just a second. Okay, so it was UK. So what was happening is Zakir Naik's TV show, this charity, got closed down because it's, you know, promoting Zakir Naik, who's okay with killing people for leaving Islam. So it got closed down.
What is wrong with killing people for leaving Islam? What is wrong for loving your enemy?
Well, that's because the UK is just waking up to this happening, which is bothering me, that they're just waking up. You have to sit there and wonder. And this next story actually comes from the UK, too. And this is, which surprises me, it was by the BBC, which I generally don't consider trustworthy. That's the honest truth. I don't consider it trustworthy normally, but this one, I saw this story and I'm like, okay, you've heard about a lot of things, but here we have a mosque worker arrested for molesting boys. So a former agency worker. They don't. They're not calling him a mosque worker. They're calling him an agency worker, which at a Birmingham mosque has been charged with rape and sexual offenses against boys. West Midlands police said Said Daoud's alleged offenses happened over the past few months and involved 4 boys. One of the charges, assault by touching, is alleged to have taken place at the mosque that cannot be named for legal reasons. Oh, gee, I wonder why. Do you want to let the parents know that they should be concerned? The other offenses are alleged to have happened elsewhere. The gentleman who did the assault is 21 years old from Birmingham. And let me tell you how old these children are. This is the stuff that bothers me. He's accused of rape, 2 counts of sexual assault by touching a boy under 13, and 2 charges of causing or inciting a boy under 13 to engage in sexual activity.
Oh, God, last week somebody asked me what is my opinion about Muslims who do such acts. By the way, the Quran does not teach Muslims to do such acts in this part of life. But they will be visited by the hundreds of the little boys in the other life. So it is in Islam, I do not see, I know we can find enough evidence that Muhammad was a homosexual. Muhammad liked men to hug him from the bed and the front and everything. But we talked about that in one of our programs. It's called The Book of Zechariah with brother Adam Seeker on his show. And it's unbelievable. You can go and watch it. It's actually in 3 languages. It is Arabic, English, and Pakistan. So if you know any Pakistani, go to brother Adam Seeker and watch it. It is unbelievable. But the Quran does not teach for the Muslims to play with little boys, okay? But in the general paradise of Muhammad, you have lots of boys. Okay? Lots of boys.
Wow.
And you just go around them and serve them and whatever you wish to do that. And the way Muslims look at it, Brother Paul, that I know some Muslim scholar wrote a book, I read a few years ago, I can't even remember the name of the book, but I can't go back to it. And he said, remember when we used to...
I think it was called Bazzi Boys or something like that? Is that what we're talking about?
No, it was an Arab book. I don't know. But anyway, it was the title of an Arab book. So he said, remember when we used to go to grandma, and then he had this container, okay, and there's cookie inside it, and you try to open to get the cookie, and grandma says, no, not now, not now, after dinner. And then grandma sits at dinner, and everybody eats dinner, and then grandma herself opens the container, and she put her hand inside, and gets not one, not two, but maybe 3 cookies, because grandma likes to spoil the grandchildren. And that's exactly how Allah is going to reward the Muslims. While you're here in this world, you demonstrate wine, okay? But in the paradise of Muhammad, there's a river of wine. While here in this world, you cannot have sex with the boys. But when you get to paradise, you can have blankets and so on with everything. Here in this world, you only allow for 4 wives. In the paradise, you can have all these beautiful forever, forever virgins. You got the story?
Yeah.
The word of Allah goes against the word of Allah for the Muslims in this world. Okay, great.
Okay, so we have, this is a story that got updated. It's out of Austria. So I found the original story, and it tells a different tale. So it says, at the Vienna, I'll throw this in the chat just a second first so you can see what I'm talking about. There's a box in, don't read the box until I finish the article, and then I'll come back and read what's in the box, because that's actually important. At the Vienna Praterstern railway station on Thursday evening, an Austrian citizen, age of 19, threatened and insulted 3 girls, aged 15 to 18. They were told to dress more modestly and put on a headscarf. Guardian of public morals chased the 3 women from the underground station to Schwedenplatz. There he pulled out a knife, kicked them, and put one of the victims in a headlock. The women then called the police. The man, extremely aggressive towards the police officer, a small amount of cannabis was seized from the suspect during the arrest. The Austrian, who was known to the police, was arrested and charged with suspicion of dangerous threat and attempted bodily harm in violation of the Narcotics Act. Victim suffered no physical harm. Now, here's the follow-up and an update. You ready? The man was extremely aggressive towards the police officer, according to the Daily Newspaper. The man insisted that he was not Austrian, but Syrian. So all this time they've been saying this person who's a guardian of public morals, this is a Muslim migrant, Austria, who's threatening young girls for not wearing a hijab.
Don't we have this openly in the streets of London? It's already happening.
Yes. Yes.
It will be all over Europe sooner or later. When Muslims have the upper hand, they will force the British and the French and the German and the Swedish and the Norwegian and the Austrians and all everybody
Some of these things you just sit there like, I mean, how could you, I mean, you, I guess the thing that bothers me the most, what I keep seeing, is the comment I just shared that was up there. They keep asking, what was their motive? Like, yeah. Like, don't you read the Quran? Don't you read the Hadith? You know, and on top of that, when they get arrested, they say, this is allowable in my country.
When a Muslim man rape and a woman, you say, oh, it's just different culture. Excuse me. Where he comes from, you don't rape women. You cannot rape your wife, your neighbor's wife, or your neighbor's daughter in the Muslim country. You can do it, and they will tell you for it. Okay? But they come up with this stupid excuse to just put the aside, let it go, don't make any humor. All right.
Yeah. Let's see. I had, I'll skip that one. And I'll go to... Okay, let's go to this next one, and then we'll go to the study. Okay, I'll throw this one in. This one just kind of made me throw this right in here. Okay, and Allah's willing. This is by we call it Medforth. It says French Syrian refugee Hussein Ahmed goes on trial for the rape and murder of 24-year-old Johanna Blanes, who was found naked in a tunnel. His lawyer invokes the cultural differences between Syria and France. Yes? And this guy claimed the woman he attacked, he claimed the woman that he attacked was teen, she was 22. The gentleman who found, the policeman who found this person, she was, it was very, very hard for this policeman who found this dead person, because he was so brutal. And that was, yeah, cultural differences, huh? So in your culture, you're saying you're allowed to murder, you rape and murder people. Okay.
If you see a non-Muslim believer, you can kill, you can rape. Because, as a matter of fact, that is the teaching of Allah. When Allah said, engage in war with him, or defeat him, whatever you find, anywhere you find, what he found that person, someone, and he killed or raped, that's wrong. That's very wrong. That is the book of Islam in the future of the world.
Let's see if I got one more. I have a horrible story from Afghanistan. And the Taliban rebel shot dead. Let me just get this off the screen, sorry. Shot dead 12 innocent civilians in Baglan. And I guess when they say innocent, that usually means Muslim. Sources have reported that Taliban rebels have shot dead 12, I would say, Muslim civilians at a checkpoint in Narin. Rebels killed them on Thursday night, June 2nd. According to sources, Taliban fighters killed them for allegedly attending night parties. Getting Sharia law does not allow night parties. Yeah.
Welcome to the return of the Taliban. The Taliban not just returned. We actually made them whatever they were dreaming, maybe 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We made them so powerful, and we gave them all the weapons they need to stand up, not just against their own people, but against other countries. If somebody in the future tries to go back to Afghanistan, you may think they're going to be a brutal wipeout. But happens that right now the United States of America, the people of the fall, we are sponsoring the fall event financially on a weekly basis. Every week and every month, whatever the need of the Taliban, it will be met. Why? Because Mr. O'Biden is that piece of garbage in the White House, and the dumb sick Democrat around him will continue to pay the jizya for the Taliban. After all, we still have American in Taliban. You know that? We still have American, then they must come back.
We have at least 300 still alive over there. They had 600. To begin with, 200 have been killed off since they were told that they were no longer military. They've been told they are consultants.
The Taliban is in power. The Taliban is receiving their dream. Their dream is to be in power, to be in control of Afghanistan, which is to offer 20 years of war. God have mercy on the innocent people who are going to be wiped out by the hands of the true Muslim believer of Taliban. All right. So I think we covered lots of material from the mission to you guys. I hope you are enjoying this first half hour or so, which we spend with you to show you about things happening around the world. Most likely, you're not going to hear that on Fox News or CNN. But they're not going to be talking about it. So if you want to know anything about what's happening in the world, the important stuff, I'm not going to cover everything. Well, if we cover every Muslim attack happening between here, and last up a day, we need a good week to talk about it. So we only have a 2-hour podcast, maybe half hour or so like we always do, talk about different reports of things happening around the world, the important one, and the rest, we just have to see the rest of the people in the world, especially those in the West, in our prayer. So here we go. We're going to be starting here our study of the stages of in reality. I have to go out actually from here. I don't think I can do it that way. I have to leave it from the back, otherwise I will not be able to play. So here we go. I'm going to share the screen with you, Brother Paul. And Lord is willing. And we go there. And we're going to go to add the sound. And we're going to put a window. And here it is. Now. Ladies and gentlemen, our new study, this is part one of the stages of embryology. We're going to be covering as long as I see sufficient. Now, as I said earlier, this study is very important because it is one of the biggest propaganda by the movement in the West to deceive the naive, stupid people of the West to become Muslim. I'm not making up. If I can make some phone calls, and maybe some of my friends are already watching us, and I'll ask them to share the testimony, they will tell you the reason I became a Muslim because 15 years ago, 20 years ago, my boyfriend or my fiance or whatever they fall in love with, or actually some men this day, I was shocked to learn about the miracles of the stage of the embryology. How in the world did Muhammad knew about the stage of the growth of the embryology inside the mother womb 1400 years ago? When we know that Muhammad did not know how to read and write. This is not just a simple talk, my dear brothers and sisters, but people like those who are watching us right now, me and you. I'm talking about we got professors, doctors, experts who wrote books about embryology. As you're going to hear in the end of the first video, which we're going to be playing with you tonight, you'll be shocked that Professor Pete is killing us. The man who wrote 5 or 6 books, I mean, his material are caught all over the universities in Canada and in America and everywhere else. He will tell you, Brother Dr. Moore will assure you that Muhammad is a prophet from God for no way under the blue sky he could know these very important things of the growth of the embryology inside the mother womb and live to give it from God. Yes, indeed. That's what we're going to hear. That is one small tiny clip. In the end of the first video, we're going to share with you Professor Dr. Peace. But we're going to play the entire of his teaching and my little stories about it as we continue our study. The study is called Disciples, the Miraculous Mistakes of Muhammad. And by the way, there are plenty of them. So this is first miracle to read about in the Quran or read about from Muhammad, the stage of Anbiya. You know, we're talking about number two and three, some other miracles. But even in this first miracle, the embryology, we're going to have many parts of the share with you that we much better. So, Mr. Brother Paul, do you want to say anything before we hear everything?
I'm going to say this is, I think this study is actually important, and some people might, again, sometimes it's important to laugh. You're going to laugh through part of this, but the purpose is when you're sharing the truth of the gospel, you have to be able to point things out like this.
Do me a favor, Brother Paul. I want you to find online the different translation of the Quran for Quran chapter 23, verses 12. 13 and 15, because after we made this video, we're gonna reread the video word for word what was said in the video, and when I come to that passage in Quran chapter 23, verses 12, 13 and 15, which is the most important part of our study, we'll have a couple other verses to share with you as well, and then I want you to read the translation of these three verses, 12, 13, 14 of chapter 23, by different Muslims. Translators, and then we're going to read it from my translation. Okay?
All right, doing it right now.
No, just get it ready.
Yep.
Get it after the
video. Sure.
All right? So, ladies and gentlemen, here is the beginning of our study. The miraculous mistake of Muhammad.
Just turn up a little bit. A little louder. Here we go.
And without proof or if a single contradiction is found within the book, the entire word of God is a proven soul. So without further ado, let's put the book to the test. In the 23rd chapter, titled The Believers, the 12th to 14th verse, God is said to give a detailed description of how the human being is formed. It begins by saying, he then takes him as a sperm drop in a place of settlement. Then we made the drop into an alaqa. We will translate this word very soon. And then we changed the alaqa into a lump. Then we made out of that lump into bones. And then we closed the bones with flesh. Then we caused him to grow and come into being and attain the definitive human form. In the 21st century, we can now safely say that this verse is clearly describing the process of human development in correct chronological order. However, what we should be paying attention to in particular is the second phase, referring to the development of the embryo. The important use to describe the embryo in this verse is the word alaqa. The word alaqa, when translated into English, means three separate things. First, a blood spot, or the beginning, containing or creeping something, or thirdly and finally, a leech. Now, all three definitions don't come anywhere near what we consider to be the human embryo. So, why are these words used and what significance do they share with the human embryo? Can the embryo be described as a blood spot? So, what do you think? The third week of embryo is the particular heart going to the blood vessel to form a primordial cardiovascular system. And by the end of the third week, the blood is circulated and the heart begins to beat on day 21. The first thing that comes to mind in regards to being suspended or hanging is the umbilical cord. But we can't use that example because we are simply referring to step 2 before the baby is even formed. So we now know today that the umbilical cord is formed from the connecting stalk. And the connecting stalk is formed as the embryo is formed. The embryo is connecting stalk has even been described by John Allen and Jeffrey Kramer as an object to suspend the developing embryo in an extra embryonic column. So an embryo is suspended and does have a strong resemblance to the blood flow. What on earth would an embryo have to do with a leech? Figure A shows the structure of an embryo at 25 days. Figure B shows the leech. show once again that the embryo stage is no greater than the size of the cervical breast. The X-ray embryo at 22 days. This is the internal structure of the leech. It's mind-blowing stuff, but you still haven't seen anything yet. This is the head of the embryo at 22 days. The detail you are seeing right now is absolutely impossible to be seen with the human eye. It can only be seen with a microscope. The back end of the leech. There's no other word you can describe other than mind-blowing. The pictures we have shown you are impossible to be seen with the human eye, or predicted by the human mind. Once again, those of you I've shown you were revealed over 1400 years ago for man who couldn't read nor write. Are these the words of God?
Descriptions of the human embryo in the Quran cannot be based on scientific knowledge in the 7th century. The only reasonable conclusion is that these descriptions were revealed to Muhammad from God, from God, from God, from God, God, God.
All right. This is the first video, which I am glad to share with you. And God help us. God help us. We got the word of the video. In case you could not hear it, and I'm sorry if the voice was not loud enough, I'll do my best.
Well, actually, it worked. It worked. It was pretty good.
All right. Yeah. So, Father Paul, like me, by reading to me, I read it one sentence at a time, everything that they get said in his vision. Be patient with me, because I'm going to stop you, I'm going to talk, I'm going to stop you, I'm going to talk.
Let me see if I can grow this.
You got it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have it also available as you can search.
All right. So we have greetings in the name of our Lord. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, that was okay. The statements we're about to show you from the Holy Quran, and it is said to be the official, unchanged, pure word of God, revealed over 1,400 years ago, claiming to be the word of God is a heavy statement, and without proof of, or if a single contradiction is found within the book, the apparent word of God will be proven false. Oh.
The things that we're about to show you from the holy word of, excuse me, what? From the Holy Quran? Who named the Quran holy? And when I look at the Arabic Quran, I think it's the word Kareem, Al-Quran, Al-Kareem, which is the actual, but it's the Jewish. Thank you, Brother Paul, for correcting this. So it is from the Jewish Quran, not holy. It is not holy, unless you can see a hole in every country. Look at the can you see my eyes? Can you see my nose? No, no, there's no hole in it. Therefore, it is called the Jewish Quran. That is the first error for my dear friend.
Okay. It is said to be the official, unchanged, pure word of God. Trying to find my mouse for a second. Here we go. Changed.
And then word of
Allah.
God and word the word Allah. Now we're correcting his writing. Why are we doing that? Because we just being no. This is not a sugar code podcast. This is not a correct speech program. This is to expose the falsehood of the Muslims, revealing the truth about Islam. That's what I do for a living. Okay? That's what I do for a living. So the Quran is unpure, and it is changed, and it's not the word of God, but it's the word of Allah. How do I know that? I just study the book. I read the book. Matter of fact, none of the Quran of Muhammad has anything to do with the Quran we have now had today. That Quran is never. Most of our claims, pure, unchanged, word of Allah is every man. We don't have 37 sister has to hold up letters, have we have her on this podcast before. You can have her back again if somebody would like to hear the message one more time from her. 37 Quran. The phone in her hand, she showed us a picture of it, of 37 Quran in the Arabic language. Brother Paul, I'm not talking about the Quran in English. Yeah, the English will have 53, 55, who knows, some of them have 50 English translations. I'm talking about the original Quran, which Muslims hold in their hands, in the Arabic language. Not different dialect, because you cannot make different dialect out of the written Quran. It is different Quran. What is a good, remember, 92,000 things? How many to say? 90,000 changes. He says, unchanged, excuse me, if I have 90,000 words different from one Arabic to another, how the world is, are you stupid or you think I'm stupid? Paul, I am not stupid. I can read Arabic. And when I open this Quran and I read one next to other one, guess what? They're not all the same. And when you open 37 of them and you count the number of words where there are different, 70 over 90,000, you're not going to have to say, no, the Quran is not unchanged, but it is the changed word of Allah. It's not you. It's not you. If you change it, you give it to God. A lot of the statements is this. Claiming to be the word of God, we got our up, we got our up.
Oh, yeah, yep. Okay. There's a time of mouse here. Okay.
God out and give it Allah. Thank you. Because the word of God is in the Bible. It's the truth. Not that the garbage and the false word would even come. Which one of group in our study? This study is about to prove that the word of Allah is stupid. Stupid is stupid. Allah is stupid and his writing is stupid as much as he and his angel Gabriel and his prophet Muhammad have done. When it comes to morality, trust me, I know much better than Allah and Muhammad and Gabriel. And even though I never studied about it, you're going to hear me talking about it, and I'm going to make fool of myself by not even saying the right words on theology, and maybe say it like that. But believe it or not, I know much better than Allah and Muhammad and Jibreel, even though I never studied it. So now, claiming that to be the word of Allah, okay, the word of Allah is a heavy statement, and without proof, or if a single contradiction is found within the book, the apparent word of
Allah.
Will be proven false. So without further ado, I do.
Should be undo. Yeah.
Let us book the book to the set in the 23rd. Chapter titled The Believer, the Believers, and what we know from 12 to 15. Now, if that, when I read it, first let's read this. It's a protocol. Put this statement, not to break the thing from me. Not to break the thing from me.
What did you want? I'm sorry, did you want that one back?
First, let's read his translation, and then we're going to go and read it.
Okay, we'll come back here. I'm sorry. All right. He said, okay, so his translation is God is, oh, Allah. Okay. Allah is said to give a detailed description of how the human being is formed. It begins by saying, we then placed him as a sperm drop in.
And look at the new line.
I'm just trying to find my mouse. I'm sorry. There we go.
Put the arrow before, after the word by saying, keep writing, and then enter as left and as good. Here's the verse of the God. We then lay him, okay?
As a sperm drop in a place of settlement firmly fixed. Then, where's my mouse? Into a la carte. A la carte. Okay. We will translate this word very soon, and then we change the into a lump. Then we made out of that lump into bones.
Does your computer can put colors in this word?
Yeah.
All I do is do a thing. Let's put the word sperm drop in yellow color.
Okay. Okay. We'll highlight it. All right.
Yes, sir. In a blaze of settlement, sperm raised six, and we made the drop into alka. Now, they cover the word alka in yellow. I think we don't need crazy
for today.
We translate the word this, of course, he's gonna fabricate. Then you put after the word translate between fabricate, fabricate. You put the word fabricate, yes, sir. Fabricate. Woo! This word very soon. And then we change the alaka, which is the third case, into a lum. Then you put the word a lum.
Oh, should we make that brown or? Out of that lump into bones?
No.
Okay, I see what you mean. Okay. No, I got a light on me and it's hard to see the. Yeah. Find the mouse. There we go. All right.
The word bone?
Yep.
Bone. And then we close the bone with flesh. And the word flesh. The word flesh come up with that?
Yep.
And we cause him to grow and come into being a king. And a king, the what?
Definitive human form.
After the word human, put a period. No, the word human. Number provoking. Now, after this, insert one more time. Put here, insert, because that's the end of the book. Okay. Put it in the next slide, human. Put it and read these three books again.
Okay.
We're talking about the word of Allah. And it is translated by someone's name, I don't know who exactly did this translation,
okay. We then placed him as a sperm drop in a place of settlement, firmly fixed. Then we made the drop into alaka. We will fabricate this word very soon. And then we changed the alaka into a lump. Then we made out of that lump into bones. Then we closed the bones with flesh. I think clothed is what that's supposed to say, not closed. I'll go back and fix it later. And we caused him to grow and come into being and attain the definitive human form.
So according to this translation, Brother Paul, Allah said, here is the basis of embryology. Here is how man is made. First sperm drop, then alpha, then lump, then bones, then cover the bones with flesh, and behold, the human babies come out of the mother. Sounds good. I like it. I do like it a lot. Now, do me a favor. Let's read the same verse from some other people. Whatever you have, just give me some
right.
Other people. I'd love to read it. And then I would love to read it from my own translation. If you don't.
Okay.
I think this is important. If you don't understand the verses, of the world along the ground. How in the world
are
you going to understand what I'm talking about?
Okay.
What do we have here?
This is Muhammad Asad. Now indeed we create man out of the essence of clay, and the clear Quran says, and indeed we created humankind from an extract of clay. Safi Kaska said, and we did certainly create man from an extract of clay. The word for word says, and indeed, we created the human kind from an essence of clay.
That's enough.
Well, there's more if you want.
Sure,
We have Pixel. It comes from wet earth. Let's see. Is there any other word besides clay again? And I keep seeing clay.
All right. Now you're number. Okay, number. By the way, if you look at the same verse, same word here, as we're going to see it in our study, written throughout the Quran, Allah was someone that remained in Adam for many different materials. But that's okay, because Allah forgot what we mentioned earlier. But we're only reading one verse, Quran chapter 23, verse 1. Okay, do me a favor, we'll take a sign, and, oh, you know what?
Okay, 13. And then we cause him to remain as a drop of sperm. That's from Muhammad Asad. And he put in the womb, in brackets, which means that the womb part isn't there. Clear Quran. Then placed each human as a sperm drop in a secure place. So is the human a sperm drop, or is the sperm drop becoming a human? I'm kind of confused with that. Safi Kaskas, and then we placed him as a fertilized ovum.
I don't know why the Russian term I'm quoting here is that verse which that's not even mentioned. We talk about
and it's interesting they're using secure place, safe place. All right. Word for word says, then we placed him as a semen drop. Okay. Okay. We have Muhammad Asad again. We caused him a sperm drop in the womb. Pixel. We then placed him as a drop of seed in a safe lodging. You have to sit here and wonder what's... Yusuf Ali, then we placed him as a drop of sperm in a place of rest, firmly fixed. And it's a translation in 1985? Holy cow. I'm sorry. If I had read this, I mean, in 1985, if I would translate this, I would have started laughing. I'm 1985? Oh, gosh. All right. The Clear Quran. Then placed each human as a sperm drop. We're back to fertilized ovum. Washidudin, drop of fluid. Yeah. Okay. And we have this 23:14, and then we create out of the drop of sperm a germ cell, and then we and we create out of the germ cell an embryonic lump, and then we create within the embryonic lump bones, and then we clone the bones with flesh. The bones with flesh, and then we bring all this into being as a new creation. Hallowed, therefore, is I'm going to say Allah, the best of artisans. The Clear Quran, this is Mustafa Kitab. Then we develop the drop into a clinging clot of blood. Okay. We then develop the clot into a lump of flesh, then the lump into bones. Then clothe the so you have flesh, then you have bones, and then you're clothing the bones with another thing of flesh. We brought it into being as a new creation, so blessed is Allah, the best of creators. That's what it says. Well, yeah, that's I was just going to say, Kufar phobia keeps pushing this, that the plural in Arabic means three or more. So, wow.
I don't know who is the third and whatever more we are. So if any of them wants to bought that and you can help us out, people would like to know what is the name of the other creator who are the people that maybe there's a good one up who got a room and you can tell it.
Is that loud, is that big enough for you or do you need a louder? Is the word for word correct?
None of them translated right.
Wow. Wow.
Not translators. There's one way to translate the statement, there's another way to appreciate a translation for the statement. The entirety of the 70-some English translation of the Quran, which is available in the world today, are fabrications. The only accurate translation is this book I had in my hand. My own translation. I will go to the Supreme Court of America with that book to prove that it is accurate. All right? Let's move on.
All right. And we're going back to his statement, right? No. I meant we're going back to the page that you were reading from, or no?
When we created the sperm drop, you see that one, from the word for word, Dr.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And more. Oh, man. You need 50 people to help you with my favorite law. What?
Okay. When we created the semen drop into clinging substance, then we created the clinging substance into the embryonic lump, then we created the embryonic lump into bones, we clothed the bones with flesh, reproduce it as a creation another, so blessed is Allah, the best of the creators.
Okay. I don't believe even Muhammad or Allah or Jesus understand the word create. You know what create is about the bones? Create is to make something out of nothing.
Correct.
You understand? So when God created, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's one of the things. Why? Because there was no heaven, there was no earth. It's not like God brought some trucks, lots of big trucks, a few wheels, and he brought dirt from other planets and put it here on earth and made the earth. None of it. There was not moving material from one place to another place, but God created the universe out of nothing. Now, God made stuff out of it. But he did not create something out of it. Okay? Now, when you have a human, Adam and Eve were made from the dust of the earth. Now, for Adam to have his sperm inside Eve to produce a new baby, that's not creation. Because you already got the thought, okay? When people say that we can create, I say, okay, we can make baby, that's wonderful. Start with your own sperm. Bring sperm from the air. No, you cannot bring sperm. Sperm has to come from the man, egg has to come from the woman, and that's how we have babies. But if you're going to get two ladies who want to be married, and they send their husband and wife, and they're going to make their own baby, that's wonderful. Do not borrow sperm from anyone else. Two guys would like to have a baby, that's wonderful. Do not borrow an egg from a woman. Don't use what God made. Start with your own dirt. Don't use the dirt with God's creation. Now, when you read the Quran, the first one was just bad. We're going to get to it a little bit more in depth. I'm just saying hello to you guys. How are you doing? I hope you have a wonderful time. As we're about to study this very important topic. It's not going to be done tonight. No, next week or the following. It's going to take a long time. Lord's work, if I'm still alive. So, made the sperm into this. Wait a minute. That's good English. Create, that's not good English, because how can you, when you change an object to another subject, you are making it, you are not creating. Okay, I can go to my kitchen right now by the fall, and I can make a cake, not create a cake, I can make a cake. I'm going to make a cake, a great number, I get flour, I get sugar, I get milk, I get butter, I get eggs, and I'm both the process of affairs and I can both calling it, but making, not creating. If I say I'm going to go to my kitchen to create a cake, okay, well, it's done, huh? Go ahead, create a cake. Well, I need to took out the flour, Well, I need some milk, Oh, I need some sugar, How about vanilla, You're going to create, you create it from nothing. Allah in the Quran, we use the word khala, or khala food, after the khala food, okay? Similar to khala or do. That word, Muhammad, the Jibreel of Allah does not understand what it means, okay? Create, you start from scratch, from nothing.
And just to throw this out there, there is a big huge topic on this. It's called creation ex nihilo, nihilo. Create out of nothing.
Oh, good. That is not a creation. But I'm going to use a term and this and that to make something mixed. By that, I cannot say create. When Allah says in the Quran create, he's wrong. Allah is fool. He does not understand the word. Allah. To do something out of nothing. Start with the own, the only one that will bring it. Now, do you have my Quran, sir? Do you have my Quran?
I just was just pulling it up. And
if you don't get my Quran,
here we go. I'm just going to read it from the book. We're doing 23:14. Starting with 12. What? I do. It just takes me longer to find the verse. All right. 23, we're starting with verse 12. And indeed, we created the human from an extract of clay. Okay, that's interesting. Then we made him a nutfa in a secure place. Not one. What is nutfa?
What Muslims say about that word, nutfa, is the word sperm.
Okay. Then we...
The beauty about our study is, not only we read the Quran accurately, we'll tell you what Muhammad was the dictionary of the Arabic language, what Muhammad, what Muslim scholar meant by what Allah said in the Quran. Whoa! When I talk about Nasa, I'm not going to be grabbing these garbage wires, that's what Jesus. I'm going to say, here's what Muhammad said about Nasa. And when we start talking about Nasa, when we start talking about Alqa, when we start talking about Malqa, when we start talking about the bone and the flesh over the bone, you cannot help it but to laugh. Because the more we study in these verses, by Allah's word, that Allah's word, by Muhammad, in all words, and his own culture and education, the more you see how stupid Islam as a whole. It's not just a cult that is called, it's a stupid cult. Okay? So, go ahead. Please go on.
Okay. Okay, number 14. Then we created the nutfa into a clot. Mm-hmm. So we created the clot into a piece of flesh. So we created the piece of flesh into bones. So we clothed the bones with flesh. Then we made it another creature.
Yeah.
So blessed be Allah, the best of the creators.
I'm really excited about the study because maybe who knows, by the end of the study, we can all see the Shahada together and become women. Okay? Well, let's move on to our stuff. What's my video that is in the room? Actually, I have to go there. You cannot go there. I have to go there.
I see it right there. I can add it to stream.
But I cannot play it. That's a problem. If you add it, I will not be able to move on to this one.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is...
Okay, you hit add to stream then.
Yeah, I have to move it and share. First of all, let's... Let me go to the platform. Let me go to the platform. It's put it in a full moon. In a full moon, which is here. And, I have to show you guys the beautiful, my beautiful wife. Here's my favorite wife and my beautiful wife. So
going to do here? We're going to go here.
I think you stopped sharing. I think you hit stop share somehow. Okay, there you go. There you go.
You see this woman here? She is my favorite wife, my only wife. I'm only married to one wife. I only have one son. You see this? And right now, for 13 years, or about 6 months coming up, she heard in the prayer that she continues to put up with me. So, here is the first video. Those women were going to go on from here with us.
The book is considered a scientific reference work and was chosen by the Special Committee in the United States as the best book authorized by one person. Dr. P.
It went mute. Oh, there's no sound. No sound still. Ah, technical difficulties. Nothing. It's mute. Yeah. Sound, yeah, we're starting. Yeah, we got you back, yeah.
All right, so we're going to go back to the video, and you have my age. It is much more about the book. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop screaming, and then I'm going to scream again, okay? A boy died for playing, but were you able to hear the voice for the ball?
Yeah, it was loud enough.
It was loud enough, okay. Because I'm worried about
we have to go back and upload the audio. Okay.
And is the author of the book entitled Physical Views, which has been translated into 8 languages. The book is considered a scientific reference work, making the United States as the best book authorized by one person. The is the professor of anatomy and cell biology at the University of Toronto in Toronto, Canada. In 1984, he received the most distinguished award presented in the field of anatomy in Canada, the JCB Grand Award from the Canadian Association of Anatomy. He has directed many international associations, such as the Canadian and American Association of Anatomy and the Council of the Union of Biological Sciences. Let's now listen to what Professor P. Moore has to say about the revelations found in the Quran 1,400 years ago, and what science has only recently been able to find out through detailed investigation.
Mashallah, Lord. Unbelievable. Now, let me go back to our screen here. So I will remove that one here. Hopefully when I put it back later. Now, the professor is more. It's not some guy coming from behind some camel, drinking camel urine and camel milk. No, this is a professor from Canada, inventor of he wrote a book about this book from the book from physics is by himself. His book today is one of the best book about embryology in the world, by the book. I mean, this guy is so sharp that he got all these rewards, and he is so famous, and God bless Canada, and God bless the Canadian. You know what he hears about when we hear him in his lecture, which he did in the Muslim world, praising Allah and Muhammad, and praising the Quran,
The guy, when you hear him reading his material, remind me of Joe Biden. Know Joe Biden? Brother Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
That professor reminds me of Joe Biden. You know Joe Biden?
Yeah, the guy that has dementia that's sitting in the Oval Office.
God is my witness. Every time I see Joe Biden, I remember Professor Keith Moore. And every time I listen to Professor Keith Moore, he reminds me of Joe Biden. It's like the same guy. He's just reading some material from a book, and he has no clue what he is. I'm going to prove it. The man which the movement has been using for the last 20-some years to convert the people of the West to Islam is the most stupid, useful idiot I've ever seen in my life. In the past, I talked about Pastor J.D. Greer as a useful idiot in a different interview with Imam Omar Sayman. In the past, I talked about Dr. James Wright as another stupid, useful idiot who is used by Imam Yasser Khan. But I found out after listening to Dr. Keith Moore, Professor Keith Moore, that he made J.D. Greer, Pastor J.D. Greer, and he made James White scholar the severity of it. At least James White did not leave millions of people in the West Islam as Dr. Keith, Professor Keith Moore did. You follow me? That is how important that man is. I wonder how many millions he got. John Esposito got, in one case he got $20 million. In one check, $20 million.
Wow.
I mean, that's John Esposito. We have not. You don't know the man.
Esposito, one of the Muslim Brotherhood guys, yeah.
So that man got 20-some million in one check. And I believe that's a piece more. If he got less than $100 million, that means he's stupid. He was actually used for free. If I am him, which I will never do, and I do the job he did when it comes to embryology, praising Allah, praising Muhammad, and helping the Muslims to lead millions of the people in the world into some by this hogwash lie, that BS lie, if I am him, I will not do it for less than $100 million. But to know that he's stupid, I don't think you can give him $2 million. Let's show you internal evidence that the man is stupid. Stupid is stupid does.
There we go. Forrest Gump rides again.
Anything you want to share about what we have talked about so far before we move with us? Anything you want to share about?
I find it humorous that it almost seems like Allah got it wrong. He used flesh, he turned it into bone, and then he had to start again and turn the, you know, close the bone with flesh.
So what I want to do is I want to go back to our review. Hopefully we'll be able to catch it from what we talked about. I won't have to go back and forth 360 times. All right, I think it's going to work. Here we go. We're going to take the video because when you talk about it, we're going to move on to the next one. What is hermeneutics? Because everything we're about to do in our study here, Brother Paul, is depending on the science of interpretation. What is hermeneutics? Okay?
The branch of knowledge that deals with interpretation, especially of the Bible or literary text.
Hermeneutics is a science which we'll be using in our study to understand the true meaning, the true interpretation of the verses of the Quran which we just quoted, plus a few other verses concerning the subject of embryo. Hermeneutics. Okay? Let's talk a little bit about hermeneutics. And I'm talking about Bible or Quran or any science book. What is hermeneutics? If somebody came to us and made a statement say blah 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 blue. What does he mean by blah 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 blue? If you do not know the science of hermeneutics, then you can come up with too many different interpretations, too many different meanings, and you get lost. But there is a science. The science of hermeneutics. Something Dr. Keith Moore, Professor Keith Moore, and the Muslims in the world today, we don't have a clue. What is it? Hermeneutics. Rule of interpretation. Okay, here we go. What did Muhammad say? What the Prophet actually said.
What the Prophet meant.
What did Muhammad mean by what he said 1400 years ago? What did he mean? Okay.
How the people at the time of the Prophet absolutely understood.
How the early companion of Muhammad, how the early followers of Muhammad, how the early Muslims within the years of the ministry of Muhammad, these 22 years, understood what Muhammad said. It's not how the idiot of Canada and the deceiver of America made a meaning for these words or these verses. No, 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 no. What Muhammad said, what Muhammad meant by what he said, how the people in his days understood it. That is in the days of Muhammad. Why he's still alive. Okay? Next one. Oh. Did the people of Muhammad days who understood what Muhammad said, because they knew exactly what he meant by what he said, practice it to be this or that? The actual practice, the sunnah of Islam, makes me today believe in the real Islam. Not how the Muslims in the West using stupid, useful idiots like Professor Keith Moore to make another meaning for the Quran. What? How the people at the time of Muhammad, 1400 years ago, actually practiced these verses. Number five. Then I will move these verses by knowing how the Muslims practiced it with the Prophet Muhammad, as they how actually they understood it, because they know exactly what Muhammad meant by what he said 14 years ago to today, the year 2022. And then we can practice it today. Brother Paul, this is the only actual practical rule of interpretation to any passage.
Well, we have several problems here, though. The Quran, what's the earliest Quran come from? What date? Okay. Okay.
Very important five rules. What Muhammad actually said, what Muhammad meant by what he said, how the people of Muhammad day understood what Muhammad actually meant by what he said, how the people of the time of Muhammad practiced the teaching of the Quran, and then we can bring it to our daily life today here on the June 4th of the year 2022, and we go on. Are we in agreement so far?
Yeah. I just think it'd be very hard for Islam to follow these rules.
Brother, that is how I understand the
law. Oh yes, I think we have to be fair and apply these rules equally to all faiths. Yes.
I cannot follow some guy with a suit and a tie living in America like we have read the first one we thought that and he thought, if the word of God's fault, if one mistake, the whole Quran goes by.
Yes.
That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to kiss the Quran goodbye, and I'm going to kiss Muhammad goodbye, and then we're going to kiss Muhammad on his butt, for goodbye, and then he will destroy Islam with the miracle of Muhammad. The greatest miracle of all miracles, the embroidery in the Quran. Wow. Wow. Now, let me read you a verse here, and I'm going to tell you how Muslims understand it, and then I'm going to tell you how actually the true interpretation. How will he use the on that one verse? I'm trying to build up here. My study understand. Here is what Allah said. Here is what Muhammad meant. Here is how people understood Muhammad Day. How he blessed the Muhammad Day. And how can we bring it to our life today? But I'm going to show you the error of hermeneutics. How people would like to make that verse teach. And how actually the verse has a completely different meaning. Are you ready?
Yes.
Quran chapter 41 and verse 53. Allah said,
in their life and in themselves until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. Is it not sufficient with your Lord that he is a witness over all things?
The verse says, can you read it one more time? Were you able
okay.
to hear it, Brother Paul?
Yeah, it was perfect. Perfectly clear. Thank you.
So, Allah here, we is Allah. Allah speaking to the infidels of Christ, the infidels who live in Mecca and Muhammad. We will show them our signs in the horizon. Now, what is our sign in the horizon? Muslims of the year 2022, they will tell you the sun and the moon and the stars. These are the signs of Allah, the great creator, the best of the creator. Okay? And in the job, what is the job? How the baby is made? The embryonic, the stage of the embryonic. Allah is going to show this from inside, that it is the word of Allah until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. The Quran is the truth. The Quran is the word of Allah. How are you going to move the Quran is the word of Allah? Look at the sun and the moon, the stars and the horizon, and look at how the baby is created. Inside the job, outside of the horizon. Are we so far by the fall?
Yes.
Is it not sufficient with the Lord that he, that is Allah, is a witness over all things? Allah is sufficient. Allah is good enough because he's a witness over all things. How do you like this conversation? Does it make sense?
The only thing I'd say is if you're witnessing things, you're not taking part, usually. Yeah.
Did you like my question?
Yes, I like it. It says something.
Okay. Well, I have some bad news for the demons. Why? This is the interpretation of that verse by the people who live near Muhammad. He's the big one. How Muhammad, what Muhammad said, what Muhammad meant by what he said, how Muhammad understood it, how the people in the early Muslims understood it, and then we can bring it to us today and we can do the true five steps of the religion. Let's see what else they say, okay?
And show them our signs in the horizon, meaning what we will invade for you, O Muhammad, of the horizon, and of themselves, meaning in the people of Mecca, is Allah saying, we will invade Mecca for you.
That is the interpretation of Al-Tabari, the Quran chapter 41, verse 53. Complete different meaning. There's no sun and moon and stars. No. It is how Muhammad is going to invade many of the villages and many of the cities of Arab. How Muhammad will be back in Jihad and he will wipe out the Jews and the Christians in the Saudi of him. And even in the South, even in Mecca, Muhammad will invade Mecca. Muhammad will reform Jihad and will take over the last inch of the land of Mecca. Muhammad will be the super invader of the world. Out there and even in their own country. In Mecca. You see the different meaning of what I made up earlier and what as the day said according to the
story? Well, this is exactly what you said earlier. It really does matter what people thought of those words as close to that time period as you can get.
The only interpretation of the Quran is what Muhammad said and what he meant by what he said, how he understood, how the people in his days understood it, and how he practiced it, so we can bring the cross this day and understand it today.
Exactly.
That verse is not talking about the sun and the moon and the stars. That verse is not talking about the embryology and how the baby is made. That verse talks about the established cult of Islam, how Muhammad invaded many of the villages and the cities near Mecca, and how in the end, in the last year of his life, he took over Mecca, and how the Muslim masses have been killed. He invaded. Right and left, north and east and south and west. Everywhere the Muslim went, they invaded and they practiced the teaching of Allah in Quran chapter 31 and verse 52. Is this clear?
Exactly.
Do you have any comments on the part of the full meaning?
Oh, I think this is extremely valuable. Thank you.
All right, this is it. So, why did I pick up that verse? Because I want to emphasize on, you cannot understand the Quran chapter 23, verses 12, 13, or 14, unless you read the interpretation of Muslim scholars. And by the way, you cannot understand it as what it is in Arabic unless you read my translation. Why? Because I'm arrogant and I'm bragging about my translation. No, because I did not sugarcoat the Quran. One of the reasons why I translated the book is recently. I translated the book because I got sick and tired of reading these verses fabricated in the English translation.
And we just saw that. Because, I mean, biology, it doesn't change. It's not new. It couldn't, I mean, there's no way it could be new. Isn't that what he does through most of the Quran? And he always gets the story wrong. Yes.
I did not cut the grass for 2 weeks. What a boy. I cannot wait to come home and come to that because it's going to be cool. I don't need Muhammad or Allah to bring this to me. Why? Because that is something you can observe all your life. So if you're going to tell me about America, don't you just get it, and don't you go to tell me it's America. You just look at what you're so far?
Exactly. Well done.
You know, something you cannot determine by guessing or observing. Have you got me so far?
Yes.
Absolute clear. Yeah. Absolute clear. So I'm going to tell you, perhaps, Allah, you know that more things Allah says in the Quran in the good perhaps?
That's the God of perhaps we're talking about.
I wrote two articles about it, and if you want to read it, just go to my website and look for articles by your son of that book, Allah, the God of perhaps. You're going to laugh. How in the world you tell me that the Quran is a miraculous book when we talk about in reality when we do not have any absolute information about anything?
And there's nothing, there's no clarity. There's no clarity.
You read the three books, the Quran, which is part of the clear.
Yes.
It is very clear that you cannot have a clue what Allah is talking about. Even that gentleman is the only translator who added more words in his spot on. He didn't observe it that way. I got the people one. He didn't observe it that way. So he can deceive the people to make them believe that what they're reading is actually written on the Quran. Some people have the honor and respect and both these words in between brackets, spot on, big brackets. But that clear translation of the Quran, that idiot here, and his helper, he actually lied by putting many words all over the Quran. When you read it, if you're not careful, you may think that Allah said, no, these are sentences, words, the added to the Quran to deceive you, make you believe that you actually need it. But in reality, they're all words. So, number one, it must be new knowledge. Nobody ever talked about it before. Number two, that it must be something you don't determine by guessing or observation. Number three, must be knowledge given with absolute clarity. Let me give you a miracle. Isaiah says the virgin will have a baby. Are you following the fall?
Yeah, Isaiah 7:14.
Why? Because a virgin could not have a baby. But God is telling us through Isaiah that the Lord will give you himself a son. A virgin will have a baby. Huh. Or any other prophecy in the Bible, you don't get it. Where the baby will be born? I'll be born in Israel. See, God will make it so easy if he says that his son will be born in Israel. I mean, Israel.
Well, that would have to be, I mean, that, the funny thing is that would not be miraculous also because the Messiah has to come from from within the people. So that's where they were.
Look, he has to be the son of David. And this one, you look at the genealogy.
Yes.
The genealogy of Mary and the genealogy of Joseph, the adopted dad. Both of them go back to David. Both of them go back to David. One through Solomon and the other through Nathaniel. Okay? Two sons of David. Unbelievable! Unbelievable! And then he must be born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, because there are many Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is a famous name of a city like Bethlehem, Florida, Bethlehem, Louisiana, California, and Bethlehem, okay, in France. These are different Bennett. Now, if you want to give me a miracle, and you need to be clear, absolutely clear, that you tell me that he will be born of Bethlehem of Ephrathah. When is that he born? When the Jewish king was still in charge of Judah, the Jewish king was not there, which means that when Jesus will be born, the king was going to be ruled over the land, he must be a Jew. Can you imagine that? What happened if Jesus was born 8 years later, when the Roman had full control of the land?
Ooh. Well, that would be problematic.
As you're going to see in the end of the video when it lays for you tonight, the Bible says Jesus must be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Not 29, not 31. The normal price for a slave to be sold in Jesus' day is 15 pieces of silver. But guess how many pieces of silver people were sold for? The Jewish people who did not rejected Jesus to be the Messiah, who paid the money for Judas Iscariot for the price for the slave Jesus Christ, did not give them 55 or 40 or even 51. This is the clarity, the absolute clarity of this. Now, here is the verse of the law. Here is the verse of the law. John chapter 23, verse 12 and 14. And Allah said,
we created the human from an extract of mud. Then we made him a nutfah in a secure place. Then we created the nutfah into a clot. So we created the clot into a piece of flesh. So we created the piece of flesh into bones. So we clothed the bones of flesh. Then we made it another creature. So blessed be Allah, the best of the creation.
My dear friends, I challenge any Muslim in planet Earth. I challenge Allah and Muhammad and Jibreel to tell me that I have one word mistranslated in this text. As a matter of fact, I challenge any Muslim to find me an error in that background. Right now, I'm going through it again. I read it twice already last 4 months, but I'm going to read it again coming up in the next few weeks to make sure that our new friend or new, it's going to be available online, Arabic and English side-by-side is perfect. So I found some honest mistake. Not because I made a mistake, no. Because I made a singular word wrong or wrong thing. Honestly. Not that when I looked at other English translators, I found that many of them made the same mistake. So if you want to look at me and say, oh, you made a mistake, it's a flaw, not a singular. Guess what? I will find you 10 people made it flaw and 10 people made the singular. The same word. The same word. The same thing. But I am crossing every T, I'm dotting every I to make sure that it is munaffah. It's 100% correct. I am editing my own work. 4 years I worked out in that profession. I'm doing my best to even make it. And I've been telling the Muslim people the last, 15 years, 15 years. Please, if you find any error in my profession, and I'm going to do this again tonight, when the new one comes out, and anybody and everybody, Muslim, Christian, agnostic, okay, lover of the Quran or hater of the Quran, if you find an error in my profession, you call me. A phone call, I appreciate it. An email, a text message. I will go back and look at it to make sure it is translated. But these three verses in front of your eyes, Quran chapter 23, verses 12, 13, and 14, are perfect translation. You can bet your life on it. Bet every dime you got on it. Trust me, you're going to win. You're going to win. So, here's the word of Allah. Now look at that. Pages of them.
The Nafta word still has me interested. I know you're going to come back and talk about it later, but that's kind of what I'm waiting. Really?
I challenge Muslims who come with sincere heart, logic, and common sense. You don't have to be a doctor or have a master's degree or you have a high school. If somebody understands English and if he doesn't want to English, I'm willing to do the same study one more time in the Arabic, one-on-one. I would spend hours and hours with one Muslim in the Arabic language or the English language. I'm going to read to him. These material we have, I translated from the Arabic language. Guess what? For me to work with the Muslim, the Arabic language is much easier because I don't even have to think about the translation of every word. So if any Muslim join me in my study of the embryology, the one we started today, I guarantee you, by the time I finish stage number one, he or she will for sure read it. I bet my life in it. If he's just, if he is coming with the glass book of Islam and he could not see anything wrong, I'm sorry, it can help us. That's what we want to do. I can take the horse to the water, but I cannot make the horse drink water.
I can bring the truth to the Muslims, but it's up to them to take it or not. You can continue to be stubborn, ignorant, choose the falsehood over knowledge, or you say, you know what, I think Muhammad made a mistake. Allah made a mistake. The Quran is gone on that page. And each and every one of these six pages we're going to be talking about, all of them loaded with mistakes. That's why we're going to take our time to cover them. And I hope and I pray that people just give me a question. Give me your objection right now. Anybody would like to give me the question, go ahead. Dear brothers, sisters, all those who are chatting in the YouTube comments, what is your question about what we have talked so far? What is your objection? I would love to hear them every Saturday night until we finish our study. Any comments, any questions, any objections?
And we have some interesting comments. My mouse over here.
My heart desire, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to continue with the study like we do with every other study. My heart desire that the number or watching this video is in the thousands. Not in the hundreds, but in the thousands. I could not do that. We offer our ministry to you free of charge. We never ask anybody to give money, and we will never ask anybody to give money. My request is please share this video with us. Please, I would love this time we have thousands of people watching. And if people cannot come in this weird time, at night, late, or morning, depending on where you are, if you are in Europe or in Asia or somewhere else, because we know we have people watching from all over the world, please share the video with your friends that they need watching as this convenient. Make sense?
Definitely.
I hope and I pray that it will not be removed from the Facebook or the YouTube. As they remove this video, we will find another way. Just communicate with us through our website, thestraightway.org, Usama at thestraightway.org, and we'll tell you how we're doing from some other time. Okay? No comments, no questions.
Thank you for the entertainment, for entertaining evening.
We have today I'm just saying good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Guys, we're about to start a new program. You're going to love it.
Anybody else have any questions or regarding the topic so far tonight? Okay. So there's. I mean, the thing I've seen in here is seeking truth is just talking about how Muhammad is just definitely not a prophet. And yeah.
I am so excited about this study. I worked hard to collect this material, to translate all this material from every single week, and I hope and I pray that you guys will have fun. Let me submit to you. Right now we are on slide number 15. We have 211 slides in this presentation. So 15 out of 211. And by the way, half of the 15 is my picture with my wife and this and that. We have not really got into the study. I promise you, it will be a fun study. With this 14, the 211, which means I did not even do. But take my wife's picture out. Hey, we did 10 spots out of 200. And we said hello. Yes, it's done. All right, I think we're good. I'm going to close our study for the radio people. Please, guys, please. The most important thing, especially for those who are watching this later, do not skip the last 10 minutes. This is the most important 10 minutes for your life, for your eternity. I'm not joking. This certainly is a message which I want to share with you. If you're a Christian by name, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Muslim, this is the most important 10 minutes of my 2 hours. Which I'm glad thankful to spend with you. So please listen to me.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets, a passerby interrupted him and said, "Excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world." Harry Ironside said, "Sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two." I said, "The man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs?" Ironside said, "There are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior." All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. "No," said another prophet, "it would be his friend, his confidant." You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. "No," says another prophet, "they will pierce his hands and his feet." In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver, and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously. And he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. So those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. And when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit.